Well, good morning. Thank you, Dwayne, for your prayer there, and for, yes, anytime I do have a little time away and do some other things, I get pretty anticipating that I'm going to be back up in the pulpit and sharing God's word. Pastor Tom, thank you for the focus that you gave us in community today. Really set our hearts upon some great truths there that really minister to us. And Jonathan, thank you for leading us in praise today. What a blessing he is, and to participate in that. And we pray for him as he would go back to school. I think you're leaving today, aren't you, Jonathan? Yeah, so he just kind of stuck this in and got you know, on his busy schedule and calendar and participated today. We thank you for that. You know, 2 weeks ago, we finished up chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. That great chapter of repentance and all that we learned in that and what God was speaking to us and all through that. We're going to wait a little while till the middle of September before we pick up chapter 8 and 9 in 2 Corinthians. We have some things coming up in church. 3 weeks from now, I'm going to actually not be here on one of the weekends. And then we have Labor Day weekend. And then we have the ministry celebration weekend, and we have some things that would interrupt that. And I have a strong conviction that sometimes in the Word of God, when we're in God's Word, like chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, it really flows together. And so in my heart, sometimes I don't like to go, okay, well, we got two here, and then I was gone, or then we did something. That for me, that becomes, like I said, I have a strong conviction that we want to catch all of what is there together in God's teaching and God's Word. So I didn't want to do that, and so we're going to wait till the middle of September before we pick up 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But what flows right out of what we learned in 2 Corinthians and flows out of what Tom brought with us last week, and when he was teaching us through the Psalms there, that in the end there, where we would wait on the Lord, hope in the Lord, it really flows out of what we were learning, and it is forgiveness. And I'll bring to your remembrance some of those kind of things as we went through 2 Corinthians 7, and you'll see why that. But what flows right out of true repentance that bears fruit in your life is forgiveness, doesn't it? When you repent, doesn't forgiveness flow right out of it? God is forgiving you, and God is in your relationship with Him are forgiving you. And then when you repent, you turn from sin, the person, the relationship you're in, they're forgiving you, seeking forgiveness, those kind of things flows right out of it. It's a good topic for us to discuss. We're going to do it for 3 weeks here. Now, as we went through the godly sorrow, true repentance that we saw in chapter 7, the whole deal there, quite a few of you came up to and talked to me about forgiveness and how do we work that in and that. And as I looked and studied in chapter 7, in all of Paul's teaching, what struck me was an incredible forgiveness Paul had. I don't know if you noticed it or not. Did you notice in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians the incredible forgiveness Paul had? I mean, he truly just walked in forgiveness daily. He just was a person of forgiveness. Forgiveness just flowed out of his life. And to be slandered by the ones that you love, to be offended, to be abandoned by them, to be sinned against by the ones that you've sacrificed so much for, that has to be far hard for any human being, right? Help me, right? Right, that's what they did to Paul. He loved them, gave his life to them, spent a year and a half there and taught them the gospel, taught them God's truth, and then some guy comes along, or people come along and start saying some different things, teaching differently, and they just abandon what Paul says. And he goes and he confronts them, and he's in the church, and they just tell him, hey, sit down, Paul, you're just a manipulator. You're just a liar. You're not for us. We're listening to these guys. Ah, Paul, he didn't, I mean, think about it. What an incredible offense. Have you ever been offended? Raise your hand. Have you been offended? You've been offended like that in any manner, shape, or means? And then the person come to you and say, you know, I've seen my sin. I want to forget. I want to repent. I want to turn. Do you just walk forward and just say, oh, good, I'm just going to move on and love you and encourage you and be for you, and I want to have joy. I'm going to have joy that God's redeeming work is happening in your life. Wow. That's what we got to grab. I mean, we in ourselves, in our humanity, have a tendency to feel sorry for ourselves, to be, oh, how could you do that to me? Oh, and we don't capture, hey, this person just saw their sin, and they're seeking forgiveness, and they're repenting, going another way. Whoa, I'm full of joy because of God's redeeming work. I'm pretty much full of me and what they did to me. How about you? Well, Wendy, we want to understand forgiveness a little better. How about you? I want out of there. Do you want out of there? Help me, you guys. I want out of there. I don't want to be in there. I want to walk in forgiveness. I want God's word, God's truth, God's way, that when those things happen in their life, and guess what? They're going to happen. They're going to continually happen, and they're going to happen until you go meet the Lord. You live amongst a bunch of people that offend each other. We're not trying to most of the time. Sometimes we try to. We got to own up to that one. But we do. And so forgiveness is just really part of our life. It needs to be. If we're going to have like Paul, that's incredible. I just think it's quite remarkable. When they repented, he just forgave them. He lived in forgiveness. He moved on loving them, caring for them, like I said, and encouraging God's redemptive work in their life, and he had joy. That's what the whole message was about, the joy of restored relationships. Like we learned in chapter 7, I want to grow. I want to grow in the direction of true repentance, that when I sin and when I offend someone or speak or act wrongly in my relationships, I want to seek forgiveness, have true repentance, and have God's redeeming work of change happen in my life. I want to grow that way. But also on the other side, looking at the Apostle Paul, looking at his life, I want to grow in the direction of walking in forgiveness. I want to let it go. I want to let it go to move on in loving and caring for the people that are in my life that God has put in my path and have God's joy that I was offended against and that somebody asked for repentance and wanted to go forward. I got joy. I want that. I want to grow in that. I want to encourage God's redeeming work of that brings joy in other people's lives. I want to walk in forgiveness. I want to be a person of forgiveness. I think you want to too. So we're going to look at forgiveness for a little while here. We're going to look at forgiveness for 3 weeks, and you know I won't be able to cover it in all 3 weeks. But let's talk about the subject of forgiveness. Let's go in that direction. So I've been kind of looking at some scriptures and studying about this. So let's seek God's truth about it. Let's look at the many sides of forgiveness, or being a person that walks in forgiveness, or being a person who forgives. So open your Bibles to that little book in the middle of the New Testament. It's between Hebrews and Titus. It's the book of Philemon. It's a small little book in the New Testament. It's right in there, like I said, right between, so you're not having to look in the front, because it's one page in mine. Well, it kind of is a page. It's one page, but it's on two different pages. But it's in between Titus and Hebrews. It's right there. 25 verses. That's what they are. It's 25 verses. They're a living lesson on forgiveness. That's what these 25 verses are. They're about a person's life, and about God's appeal, and about God's truth, a living lesson on what it looks like to be a forgiver. That's what they're about. I'm waiting for you to find your place there, find Philemon. Let me set up the situation for you, so we'll get into the context of what the letter is about, and so we understand what Paul is talking about here in the Word of God and what it's applying to our life. But as we set up the situation, look at verses 1 through 3 with me. Here Paul writes, this is what he writes, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, is how you say his name, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing this letter mainly to Philemon. But did you notice he included Apphia and Archippus? He included those people, and he included the church. Apphia is probably his wife. Archippus is probably the older son. As I study this and look through that, that's what that people brought that out. That doesn't have to be true, but he writes to Philemon, and this would be his family, and then the church family that meets in his church. He's writing to all of them. He's writing a letter. He's talking to them about what's going on. He includes them, but it's mainly to Philemon. Paul knew these people. He knew them well. Okay, he had a relationship with them. He knew them. He knew the family. He knew the household. He knew the church that was meeting there. Paul had a relationship with them. He calls them fellow workers, fellow soldiers for the Lord, but mainly he directs it to Philemon. So what happened is a slave named Onesimus that belonged to Philemon has run away. Okay, that's what's happened. You guys stay with me in the story. You guys probably all know this, but let me just tell you what it is. So Onesimus runs away. He's a slave in this family. Philemon is the master of him. Now, mind you that most slaves in this time, although they were owned by their master, and it was expensive to own them in that manner, so Onesimus cost Philemon quite a bit, but they were kind of part of the family. That's kind of how this, I want you to catch that in the story. So Onesimus wasn't somebody that the family didn't know, that they didn't have a relationship with. They had a real good relationship with them. But the slaves and masters were part of that now. It's not like we would think of it. It was, but it's like that. But Onesimus has run away. He stole money or valuables when he ran away. It's a very offensive sin. It's a criminal offense. I want you to get this so you understand the offense that went on. If Onesimus was found, Philemon could have Onesimus put in prison for life or killed. Now, that's pretty offensive, wouldn't you say? The world looks at it as offensive. Think about the sins that have happened in your life that somebody has offended you. The criminal law that's going on in the world, there's nobody offending you and sinning against you to where if they get caught, that you could go put them in prison for life or kill them. Okay, so let's put it in context, right? So this is pretty strong sin, right? This is a pretty big offense. And so he's run away. Onesimus has run away. Philemon is the owner of him. He writes to the family, and what he's simply doing, what Paul is writing to them about, is he wants to send Onesimus back, and he wants Philemon to forgive him. So Onesimus has run away and stole money and runs into Paul in a massive town of Rome. Now, that was from Colossae is where he ran away from. Little small town. He runs into Philemon in Rome. Now, some people have all the luck, right? You run away, right? You go to Rome. Rome's tons of people. Some writers would say, well, maybe Onesimus sought him out. I just think some of us don't get away with our sin. I think God's providence works in our life, and those things kind of happen, and people see them, and they get revealed, and God is at work in that. By the providence of God, think about it. This is incredible. So he runs away, runs into Paul in Rome. Paul confronts Onesimus about his sin, and like I said, he knew him well, and then he ties the gospel truth of Christ and forgiveness and salvation and rescue and deliverance and all of that in a runaway slave from Philemon's house. That he runs into Paul in Rome, and Onesimus comes to be a believer in Christ. Well, shoot, that's just incredible in the whole story and the whole thing, isn't it? How God's providence was working all of this. Onesimus is a slave in Philemon's house, and then his heart to follow his own way, follow his own sin, runs away, steals money or valuables from Philemon, runs to Rome. God has Onesimus run into Paul. Paul shares the gospel with him, then he gets saved. That's incredible. That's amazing. This is what's happened. This is what's going on. And then what happens is Onesimus starts serving Paul. He becomes a Christian, a faith believer in Christ, serving him, living for him, and helping him. And he's a great help to Paul. But even though he's a great help to Paul, it's decided between them to send Onesimus back to Philemon with this letter explaining what happened. That's what's going on here. Now we're diving into the story, and simply the letter is Paul saying to Philemon, I want you to forgive Onesimus. Because you see, and you know, and we all know that the foundation of salvation, the foundation of the gospel, the foundation of our faith is forgiveness, isn't it? Isn't it forgiveness? When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believed in him and trusted in him, you understood the forgiveness of God. You understood that you could be forgiven in Christ. And when that happened and you got faith in Christ and God did his work in you, you started looking around in your life and you started seeking, I need to ask this person to forgive me. Because you start seeing your own life and the offense that you have been before you believed in Christ. You start seeing the truth. And then when people do that in their life, when you're a believer in Christ, the foundation of your faith is when people seek forgiveness, you give forgiveness. You don't withhold forgiveness because God didn't hold with any forgiveness from you. That's the simple foundation of our faith. We're going to look at it more as we go through more of the lessons here because there's three of them here, but that's our foundation to our faith, isn't it? Is it in your life when you see things in your life and you meditate on God's word, right, Craig, and what we were talking about in Sunday school, and we learn God's truth and see those kind of things. God brings things up in our life and we see that we need to maybe repent and turn from sin and go seek forgiveness and ask God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, 1 John 1:9. Although we're forgiven in Christ, but in our relationship with God, we want to own up that we did something offensive to him. This is foundational to our faith. So he's making an appeal to Philemon to live a Christian life. Forgiveness is our life. That's what I said. I want to grow in that direction where it becomes how I walk in my life all the time. I don't want to let all these other things get in the way of me being a forgiver. Our God is a forgiving God, right? Amen. The whole gospel testimony hinges on that God forgives, and we are to be people of forgiveness, just like in the verse in the front of your bulletin. God's word says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. You are no more like God than when you forgive, because God is a forgiving God. We'll cover that more, like I said, but this little book is a living lesson on forgiveness, and we're going to dig into it today. And although the word forgiveness is never used in the letter, you're not going to find the word forgiveness. It's implied everywhere. The underlying theme that is implied by Paul is that Philemon is to forgive like he has been forgiven. Me and you are to forgive like we've been forgiven. We're going to study that, look into that, try to see many sides of it as we go for 3 weeks on forgiveness. Three main points in our text, or in the outline, or for the passage. They're in your outline there, if you look at them. Three main points that Paul brings out: the characteristics of one who forgives, the action of one who forgives, and the motives of one who forgives. Today, we'll just look at the first one, the characteristics of the one who forgives. You might want to write down this next to characteristics on there. You might want to write the nature of one who forgives. That's a good word, too, that it's going to be kind of applied. Or you might want to write the disposition. So the characteristics, the disposition, the nature of one who forgives. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Look at them with me. Look at your word, at the Bible with me. Let's read them together. So here Paul says, okay, we are writing the letter, and here it is, and this is how he starts. He says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and your faith that which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective, through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Now, the letter would have been read in the family, read in the church, but it's written to Philemon, directly to him. Now, before we get into my little list there of characteristics, something really God prompted my heart as I was studying this and going through this that I want to share with you. I want you to notice something in verse 4 and 5. Look at it with me as he says, see if you'll notice it. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. What I want you to see there is the gratitude. I want you to notice the gratitude. It's not part of the message today and what we're going to be looking at. It's maybe straying away here a bit, but it's kind of a... I want you to notice this. I want you to see the gratitude of Paul. When he prays for Philemon, he thanks God. What does he thank God for? Because he hears of the faith and love Philemon has for the Lord and for the people. It's about gratitude and thankfulness. Do you think Philemon was perfect? But he was thanking God for the faith and love that he had toward the Lord and had toward other people. He was overwhelmed with it, in a sense. So was I this week as I prayed about this and I went through this. I was really touched by this. I was really affected by this. You know, I was praying for a couple and the protection of their house from a fire this week. I was praying for the couple, for their dog's health. I was praying for a couple and their travel back home. They've been away for a while. I was praying for another couple concerning their grandson getting a job. I was praying for my family and my wife. I was praying for my daughters. One was in Peru. Another one has been just married. Another one is working hard, finding her way with the Lord and in her journey. God brought my heart to see all these people, plus many more, as I pray through the body of Christ and the church, to see their faith and love for the Lord and others. As I prayed for them, I know the people in my life and myself need to grow in the Lord. I know our relationships need to be stronger with one another. We need to get God's truth and play and put it in our heart. But as I prayed for these people and many more, God began to show me and give me a heart of gratitude for the faith and love that they have for the Lord and that they have for others. None of it's perfect, but it's there. Do you pray for your husband and wives? For the faith and the love that they have for the Lord and that they have for their other people that they have for your family? Yes, does it need to grow? Do you want God to use you to help it grow? First and foremost, be thankful. that God is at work. Sometimes we fall into the negativity of all the things that we fall short on, or the way the world is, or what is going on. But let God give you a grateful heart. Husbands, do you pray for your family and your wife? Let God give you a thankful heart for the love and the faith that they have for Jesus and for others. Because that's who believers are. Now, it needs to be nourished and cared for and grown, but you're going to do your best. You're going to be a vessel that God can use when gratitude fills your heart. Gratitude for the work of God in people's lives. When forgiveness works. Now, that's a little side note, but it really ministered to me this week, and I hope it ministers to you. But I want to show us the character of one who forgives. And I could have added it to it, but it was something that God personally ministered to me on. Anyway, Paul writes and implies there are six characteristics, six natures, dispositions of one who forgives. First, there is a concern for the Lord. Look at verse 5. Now look at it with me. The first one is going to be a concern for the Lord, verse 4 and 5. We'll pick it up in 5. He says this, because I hear of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus. Stop there. These verbs are in the present active tense. That's meaning that he says, I'm hearing of, and I continually hear, that you have a continual active love and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say he has a perfect one. Doesn't say he has one all the time. It doesn't say that it's every bit, every moment of his life. He says, I'm hearing it. In a sense, hearing it in the depth of that word is hearing it and seeing it, believing it, trusting in it, knowing it. Do you see in other people's lives? Do you see in your family's life? Do you see within the body of Christ? Do you see the neighbors that you love? Do you see the love and faith people have in Christ? Do you see that there is a concern for Christ going on in your life? Do other people see it in your life? The characteristic, the nature of the person that forgives is that it's active in your life. It's going on in your life. It's there in your life. You know what? When it's not there in your life, guess what? Any of you guys forgiving? That's a big no, right? Because I'm hindered to forgive. Because I'm so stuck on myself or whatever that might be. But here Paul is saying to Philemon, hey, he's going to ask him to forgive. He's going to ask him to embrace this guy back into his life. So here he talks. The first characteristic is you have an honest concern for the Lord Jesus Christ. That you have honest love and faith in the Lord. That's what believers have. Let me give you a little insight to it. It came from God. You don't conjure it up, you enhance it, you live it, you feed it in a sense, you walk in it in a sense, but in your salvation, God gave it to you. When you're not having it, it's because it's being hindered, not because it isn't there. That's incredible. And so Paul is saying, I'm hearing of it, it's there. Now, if I asked you, how many things could you write down right now? And somebody yell out a couple of numbers for me. How many things could you write down right now that you recognize in your life that hinders you from having love and faith and concern for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, right now. One, four? Somewhere in between? You can identify them, can't you? Obsessed with work? Right? Focused on material things? I mean, I don't want to give a list because then you'll know my heart in every aspect, right? Nobody, this is Paul. We want to understand forgiveness, right? Do you want to understand forgiveness? Then we got to deal with who we really are. Forgiveness is real. The forgiveness of God that he has forgiven you, when it says in the Bible that he remembers your sins no more, that they were thrown from the east and the west. Wait, you think God can't remember them? He put them somewhere that they're not rememberable? No, God chooses not to remember them anymore. Forgiveness is that. It's not that it went away, and it's not, it's that I just choose not to remember it anymore. Some of you elephants are going to have to work hard. Because elephants remember everything, right? Sorry. But see, this is what we want to learn. We want to grow. We want to see this. The characteristic is a concern for the Lord. I want to grow in that. I want to walk in that. I want to have the nature, the disposition, the characteristics of one who forgives. I want to grow in that. I want to be a person that walks in forgiveness. Lord, so I want you to help me to have a concern for the Lord. Paul is just saying, I see it. You have a concern for the Lord. You have an ongoing concern for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a faithful believer, isn't it? One that's always trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, Ephesians 5:10. One that is trying to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's Colossians 1:10. Or like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, my number one ambition is to be pleasing to the Lord. It's all over the Word of God, and God is encouraging us through His Word to apply His Word to be that kind. And He's brought the availability in our salvation for it to be that way. Now, I know we fall down sometimes. I fall down sometimes. But we get back up. I know we fall short sometimes. I fall short sometimes. But I strive that it's a little shorter. You see it in the lives of those around you. People see it in you. You have a faith and a love in the Lord, a concern for the Lord, and a continuous one. That's the number one characteristic. Number two, look at your outline and look at the word there in chapter 5. He says this. Let me read it again. Because I hear of your love and your faith that we have toward the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus. I always had Christ on the end of that. He needs that three names thing, but and toward all the saints. And I just wrote all people because we can go through the Word of God and we have a love and a faith toward all people. Now, some people debate on whether it should be love and faith. Should it just be love of others and a faith in the Lord? And they get into all kinds of things. But it's, you know, my conviction and in my study of the Word, it's both to both, because you love the Lord, you have faith in the Lord, and you love others, and you have faith, belief, trust that God is at work in other people's lives, and you express that by faith and holding them accountable and sharing the truth with them. And so we have this in our life that God has given to us. You have a love and a faith toward people, yet you believe others want to be encouraged in their walk with the Lord, and you truly love them. I love Galatians 5:6 because it kind of wraps it up really short. It says, for in Christ Jesus, circumcision or uncircumcised, that doesn't mean anything. Jew, Gentile, that doesn't mean anything. Tall, short, that doesn't mean anything. What means and what matters is faith working through love. And what that says is that your love for others is because of faith, and it wants to build others up in their faith. And to forgive an offense that was toward you because of love shows faith and builds faith, right? Let me say that again. Because to forgive an offense toward you, because of the love of God that's shed abroad in your heart, because God's given you a love for God and a love for others, and it's from God. And you express it, you live it, you let it come out because your faith is in God and you do it. It shows faith and does not it build faith? That's the gospel, isn't it? If it didn't build faith, nobody gets saved. So it is faith and love toward others. And that's what God put in you. See, this is what's in us. This is who we are. This is our nature. That's incredible. That encourages me so much. This is who I am. Now, I get in the way and I fall short, and I'm not going to throw stones on myself. What I'm going to do is look to the Word of God, look to the Holy Spirit in me to guide and lead me, and have God help me walk by the Spirit. And the first one is what? Love. Because it's in me. So you can be one, a person that walks in forgiveness all the time. Because it's in you. And when you express it, when you forgive, it shows faith and encourages faith. That's the one who forgives, who has a constant concern for the Lord and for others. Because of the Lord and what He's done in their life, you have the capacity to do so. I want to make sure you get this. Do you get that you're compelled to serve others, to be concerned for others? This could be your wife, your husband, your kids, your neighbors, your family of God, the people that are in your life, that you are compelled, not because there's something about them that's attractive, but because there's something about the power of God that moves you that way. That's the truth of God's Word. Now, it's easier for that to go with my wife, I would agree, or my children, I would agree. But that's compelled in me toward my enemies. And it's there. Well, that's how Paul can walk in forgiveness like he does, by the power of God. And so here is another characteristic of what we've been looking at. I need to move along here a little bit. So Paul is implying to Philemon, I know you can forgive because your faith is real and your love is real, and so you have a concern for the Lord and others given to you by God. I know you can forgive. Thirdly, he says this, the one who forgives has a concern for the fellowship. Look at verse 6. He says this, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. Now here's the added concept. You have a true saving faith, you have a true spiritual love, and you have a real desire and a real concern for the fellowship. And Paul prays that that real desire and that real concern will be effective, will be powerful. Philemon, you have a concern for the fellowship. And he's not talking about having barbecues together and talking around. The word fellowship in this context, this has got the Greek word and what it means. It means this. Fellowship means here the common life that we all share in. You have a real concern for the common life that we all share in. One author said it this way, it means that you have a real concern for the mutual life that we share, or that you have a concern for the whole group you belong to in one another, and belonging is the word that he brings out. You desire is a belonging together. Another one would say the partnership of our common life together. Living word. Say it real loud, living word. What does fellowship mean there? We have good barbecues and we hang out and have lemonade. Fellowship means their living word around the word of God. God's word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And we are the church that focuses on the word of God as God speaks to our lives, and we have a fellowship. We share in the common life of what God's word says we're to live. That's why we call ourselves Living Word Fellowship. And so if you're being one that forgives, you have a care for the fellowship. The early church was committed to each other, devoted, Acts 2:42. We are to protect the unity that's been given to us by the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4, diligent to preserve, he says. Philippians 1:27 says this, we are to be standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The one who forgives has a concern for the fellowship, it being protected, our unity, our ministry, our mutual life together, and if you're forgiving each other, it has a powerful impact. Well, we would know that to be true, right? Because what does unforgiveness do? It brings disunity. It separates. Right? So here Paul says, you have a real concern for you. I know you do, Philemon. I'm going to ask you to forgive here, but I'm pointing out the characteristics of somebody that forgives. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Take your marriage. Help me here. If you have a common concern for the partnership of your common life, that's marriage, right? You know, I mean, we pass it back and forth, right? Those are your children. No, those are your children. No. You made us have all of that, but we have a share for a common right, don't you? Now, let me ask you, if you're forgivers, is it a powerful effect in your whole family? If you're unforgiving, does it have a powerful effect in your whole family? Absolutely, right? Absolutely. So that's what he's talking about. You got a concern for your family. Men, lead your family. Be a forgiver. Teach forgiveness. Teach the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of Christ, the forgiveness that you received. Be a forgiver. It affects, it's powerful. Kind of picking on the men a little bit today. Like I said, I need to hurry up a little bit. Fourth concern, and I'll get through them here. Because you're going to grab the concept here. You're going to grab this, and I get two more weeks in this, so I can say a lot in three messages. But you know what? I won't even cover it all. I've been working on them, and it's like, wow, I can't cover every facet of unforgiveness. Now, the fourth concern he had is a concern for knowledge. Look at verse 6. This is important for us to understand. He says this, through or by the knowledge of every good thing which is in you. Let me read that to you again. Through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you. Now, when you became a believer in Christ, when you became born again, when God transformed your life and you became a new creature, guess what? He put good things in you, right? He surely did. Colossians 3:10 says that it's a new self, while that's being renovated to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. The newness of that image. God is trying to get you to see and understand through his word what he did in your redemption, in your salvation, in your transformed life, what God did. God placed some things in you. God changed you. You are a different person. You want to see them. You want to grow in the knowledge of them. That's what he's saying, meaning God is at work giving you a true knowledge of who you really are now. yes, sinner and need of salvation and need of God's guidance and God's leading and God's way and God's word and needing it all that, but the ability to hear God's word, to live God's way, and to be what God wants you to be. Because before salvation, that none of that was true. So he placed some things in you, and you need to know a true knowledge of what they are. That's what he's saying here. If you're going to be one that forgives, you need to have a true knowledge of what they are and how they work. Your concern is to know them intimately. The word he uses here is epigenosko. It's a deep, real knowledge, a full knowledge, an experiential knowledge. It's a knowledge that comes through experience of the truth. And that's what he's saying. It's just not knowing it or understanding it intellectually. Let me illustrate this to you. I went to South San Francisco, Daly City, up there for the weekend. We went and visited Krista's cousins, Matt and Noel. Proud to say that it was between 60 and 70 the entire time in the sunshine. It was beautiful. I mean, just to sit outside was just like, wow, this is God's country today. We'll return back to that other country in a while. But we had a great time. It was so refreshing. But Matt, which is my cousin, brother in the Lord, he's trying to learn how to play golf. And let me agree, I'm not obsessed with golf. I don't get to play that much, but people like to talk about it with me. Right, Tom? We like to talk about it a lot, but we, you know, that kind of thing. So Matt's played three times. So he says, hey, when you come, will you teach me how to play? So I get there, and he's in the backyard already. I mean, I'm there 5 minutes. Hey, will you show me the swing? Right? So I teach him the truth. Okay? Okay, this is the way you hold the club. You can hold it a bunch of different ways, but this is the easy way. Okay, in the backswing, it's called finding your swing plane. I tell them the truth. It's different than other people, but find where it's comfortable. And then you have to rotate, okay, to hit the golf ball. You guys are all going to learn. You guys can all teach everybody else, right? So you have to rotate to hit the ball, because if you don't rotate, this hip starts to fall apart, and that knee starts to fall apart, and all the balls go that way. So you have to rotate, and then you have to finish. So I show him in the backyard. He could have went and told his son, Joe. Joe's 13. He could have told him the truth. He could have gave him the intellectual truth on how you go play golf. But till we went and played the next day, Matt didn't understand experientially the truth of golf. Until he had to do that, he had to do that, he had to do that, and he had to finish. He didn't really understand it experientially. Let me see. God placed in you mercy, grace, love, hope, spirits of the gifts of the Spirit. He placed in you the truth of God that you've learned, that you've grown in, that you know. You don't know him until you experience him. That's why God says, be a doer of God's word. Because you really don't experience the truth of God and his ways and his truth until you do them. Well, you're not going to be a person that forgives until you experience those things that way. Let's take one, mercy. Do you guys intellectually understand the mercy of God? Help me. The mercy of God. I have received the mercy of God. I have not received what I deserve, and I deserve hell. I didn't receive it because of Jesus Christ. I experientially understand what mercy is when God works in my life and he asks me to give someone mercy. I'm not to give them what they deserve, even though they deserve it, even though they've earned it, even though it can be even the criminal offense of by the law what I can do to them. I'm going to give mercy. You do that, you're going to understand mercy more than you've ever understood mercy. You do that with hope and love and forgiveness and kindness and grace and God's truth, his word. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth that is not for such, but just edification. For the building up of the moment to whatever in the need of the moment that's needed. I know that truth. I know unwholesome words come out of my mouth. But until I deal with my heart and deal with my words and deal with my walk with God, I do not know that truth. How about you? That's all Paul's saying. You see, you have to walk with the Lord. You have to walk in the things that God has done in your life for you to be a person of forgiveness. You just can't say, well, I'm going to forgive. And so he's writing to Philemon, and he's growing us in our understanding. If you're going to be somebody that understands forgiveness, you have to be walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to understand mercy or love or hope or the word of God, stay with me here, you guys, because this isn't an intellectual thing. It is about understanding with our mind, but it's understanding who God is with our life. This is so important. You can't sit outside and judge people and look at people and think of the church or think of the body of Christ or think of the things in the world or think of what's going on until you live this way. Then you can see why people forgive, why people have mercy, why people love, why people lay their life down for somebody that you would say, what are you doing? Because this is what makes you a forgiver. Moving along quickly. There's a couple more. Let's cover them today. Next is this concern for glory. Look at 5 and 6. Paul writes, because I hear of your love and your faith for which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Did you get that? It's not for my sake. It's for the glory of God. When it's for the glory of God, I benefit. When it's for the glory of God, God works in my life. God changes my life. But it was never for my sake. To forgive is never for my sake. Does it help me? Does it work in my life? Do I benefit? Absolutely. But he said, this is for Jesus' sake. This is for, of course, right? To have a constant concern and love from faith in the Lord, a constant concern for other people, a concern for the unity, the ministry, the oneness of the fellowship, and a desire to know experientially the truths of God and what his transforming grace has done in your life is for the sake of Christ, is it not? It's for his glory, right? It's not for the Living Word Fellowship's glory. It's not for my glory. It's not for my family's glory. It affects all of it, right? But it never was for our glory. It was for his. Glory is his character, his nature, his attributes, and you and me are to have a concern for those attributes being seen in us and in our relationships, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Forgiveness shines an intense light of the glory of God in the face of Christ, and you and me want to be a people that shine the gospel light of Christ. That's the kind of people that forgive. Last one, look at your text. This is such an encouraging verse, verse 7. Such an amazing thing that you could write this about somebody in their walk with the Lord. He writes this about Philemon. He says, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. So that's the last characteristic to one who forgives. They have a concern to be a blessing. I don't know who wouldn't want that to be said about their life. That somebody would say, you know, I have joy and comfort in your love for others, man, and what you got going on in your life. You're loving God, loving others, concern for that. I see that in your life. You know, and people are refreshed by you. Those words don't come easy. They don't come easy. It comes from the life of Christ being lived out. Do you remember 2 Corinthians 7:13? It said this, Titus was refreshed by the church because they did what? They had true repentance. They truly repented, had godly sorrow of the sin in their life. They dealt with their sin, they dealt with it collectively, and they sought to be obedient to God's word. And that was a blessing to Titus and Paul. You know, to be a blessing sometimes, a lot of times, to be a blessing to one another is that we are actually real with God with one another. That we actually truly repent. That we truly ask for forgiveness. That we truly see sin in our life and say, I don't want that in my life. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to repent. And it's a refreshment. This is what Paul is referring to here. You're a refreshment to the church. They've been refreshed through you. You know what's refreshing? True repentance, true forgiveness, true walking with the Lord. Let me take one survey today and see if everybody, who's going to need to ask for forgiveness this week? Well, why don't you just go ahead and do that and refresh everybody? Some of us are going to need to repent and turn to go another way. And they're going to need to be forgiven. I'm not going to remember it anymore. I don't want it in your life. We can talk about that, talk about what it really was and all that. We'll get into more. Like I said, I can only cover a small part of this. But when you forgive, you have a concern to be a blessing. Now, hopefully that was helpful. I know I didn't address it all, but Here's the conclusion. You ready for the conclusion? What's the conclusion? If I were to ask you to come up here, Red, if I ask you, hey, Red, come on up here and give us a conclusion to the message, what would you say? That's a good one, isn't it? Frank, if I ask you to come up here and, hey, give the conclusion to the message, come on up here and you tell us the Word of God, what we learned today. What's the conclusion, Frank? It's okay. There you go. See, the conclusion can be many things today, can it? Because the Word of God speaking many things in here. Here's some of the conclusions that we could write. Lord, help me change. Lord, I need you desperately. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in my life and have done in others. I want to have gratefulness for that you are at work here. Lord, I repent of unforgiveness. Help me be a forgiver. Lord, I need to seek forgiveness with somebody here. I need to go and seek forgiveness. There's many here. So we're going to let the conclusion be between you and God. The conclusion is between your relationship with God and you, and what he's showing you through God's word on the application of it. Really, the conclusion is written whether you act to what God has spoken and said and taught, if there's an action that he's called for, or there's an understanding that you want to apply to your life. That's really the conclusion every single Sunday. This is God's word, what he's teaching about who we are in Christ and what the nature and the disposition, the characteristics that he's going to grow in our life, that are going to come forward in our life. Because the very foundation of our faith is we are one who forgives because we've been forgiven. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to us and for this simple little 25 verses of this life story of forgiveness. Father, first and foremost, I come before you and confess, Lord, I don't always forgive. I don't have this down. I don't have this perfect. I won't. I'm going to have to grow in a journey of this. I don't forgive. I don't seek forgiveness and things. Sometimes I just wash them away or those kind of things. But, you know, Lord, we're going to grow in our understanding of 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sin. Cover there would mean not that we hide it, that we just forgive it. We let it go. It doesn't even need to be acknowledged. I'm so thankful for the relationships in my life, the people in my life that just do that when I'm offensive in any way. And the things that need to be brought up, they care about me enough that they bring them up and I want to deal with them. I know each and every one of us is in a journey in some way, form, or manner like that, Lord. But bottom line is, Lord, we want to be the forgivers. We want to walk in the forgiveness of Christ. We want to learn how to forgive others as we've been forgiven, because we want it to be effective. We want it to be powerful for you. And it's for your name. And it's for Christ's sake. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're dismissed for today. Thank you.